This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you're listening to Jax.
And Dean.
On our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our, I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Cute.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Play the podcast, please.
Joy War. Jack and Dean. Joy War.
That's right, it is time for Joy War. Very chipper, that soundtrack. We talked last week about the image of lawyers dancing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because that happens all the time.
All the time.
I don't know about da-dong, though. Where did that go?
You want the da-dong?
Yeah, yeah.
That da-dong?
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And joining us live in the studio, not dancing, but to talk about a very important issue, is Chris and Dash from KHG Lawyers. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. So, Chris, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about intersex children and how the family court deal with treatment at an early age. I know we spoke about this briefly last year, but there has been a recent case in 2016 which has kind of, I think they got the decision wrong. And it could have really big implications.
Here we go.
I know, Lord, that's controversial. Christian Porter, where are you? So in 2013, we had a Senate Community Affairs Reference Committee, just for, you know, want of a better name, and they talked about how to deal with children that are intersex and what needs to be done in terms of treatment. And what they said is normalising treatment, and what they mean by normalising treatment is non-medically necessary treatment, so things to enhance the visual presentation of a child's genitalia, and they said it should be deferred until the child can give their full consent, which makes a lot of sense.
But do they have to do it, or is it
they don't? So it's a choice.
Right.
It's a choice. And what they said is, if a child can't give consent, you've got a young child under the age of 18 years, or even under the age of 10 years, and the parents are making a decision as to how that child identifies.
I'm not talking about like a gender reassignment surgery. We're just talking about a bit of cosmetic work
to
normalise.
Correct. So intersex people, they're born with any of several variations in their sex characteristics. So
right.
It could be chromosomes, it could be gonads, sex hormones, or genitals that don't fit the typical definition of a penis or a vagina.
Right.
So that's when we talk intersex, we're talking about that. So previously, prior to 2016, you needed court approval for any kind of medical procedure in relation to intersex children. But there was a case called Re-Carla, and this is the controversial case, where Justice Forrest said that approval was not required to authorise doctors to perform therapeutic surgery. So not necessary surgery, therapeutic surgery.
Yeah.
And the concern with this is that, and I'll give you the facts first, then we can discuss what actually happened, but it had to do with a little girl they called Carla, and she was 5 years of age, and when she was born, she was genetically male, but her male organs were what they called under-viralised, so her testicles are actually internal. What they said, and so it gave the appearance that she was actually female.
Right.
When she was born, her parents and her treating doctors decided, I don't know how they decided, but they decided to raise her female. Okay, so they raised her female, they bought her female things, they gave her doonas, pink doonas, all of those things. And when she was five, they brought an application in the family court requesting that they be given permission to undergo surgery to remove her testicles. And they, as well as any further or necessary treatment that the doctors requested.
And the testicles weren't causing any medical problem?
There was discussion about them possibly becoming, that she could develop a tumour.
Right.
But it actually turned out that was such a low percentage, something like 14%.
Yes.
And there was no conclusive evidence. And it came out later that the evidence they relied upon was actually outdated medical evidence. So they went to court. And in all family law, or majority of family law matters that relate to children, when they're complex, the court will order what's called an independent children's lawyer.
Yes.
Now, that's a lawyer that does represent mum or dad, but they are purely to represent the child and their best interests. In this case, no independent children's lawyer was appointed.
Oh.
And yeah, that in itself was a bit concerning. But what actually happened is, obviously removing her testicles or his testicles would result in her becoming infertile. Okay.
Yes.
They had all the supporting documents from all of her treating medical practitioners. The concern is, though, there was no one challenging this evidence. So no one knew that the evidence they put forward about the tumours with the testicles was outdated.
Yes.
And that was only criticised later. What actually happened is the court said, yep, you can actually, that's fine, go ahead, do the surgery, and in future we don't need to make that decision. As long as there's no conflict between the medical practitioners, that's fine. Really, interestingly, they put emphasis on Carla acting like a girl. So they said she had stereotypical female interests, toys, favourite colours. She had pink curtains, Barbie bedspread, necklaces and lip gloss. Now, that's all environmental.
Yes,
they're all things you do. Yes, I do that with my daughter,
yes.
So it's not... so that was concerning in itself. There was also no evidence given to the court that Carla even knew she was intersex.
Yes.
You know, so she'd been brought up... And they may have actually been suppressing her true gender. We don't know. She's actually only five.
And giving all that power to the doctors as well, or the medical fraternity.
I know.
And a lot of weight on the judge alone.
I know.
Yeah, but I look, the problem is that His Honour Justice Forrest, who's a very well-known judge, and he's very good at what he does, but I think he actually got it wrong in this case because he referred to the sterilisation of Carla when people said, oh, it could be a problem if she's sterilised at such a young age. He said, well, it could be harmful for her in the future. And we're like, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, if she grows up and wants to have a family, then it might be harmful that she's actually got... testicles and sperm to have a family if she marries a man. And no one even thought about, well, what if this girl grows up lesbian and this is the only chance that she can have a biological child? There was no, she's too young to have a sample taken and frozen, any of that. And it really gave a heterosexual view of how a child is to develop. It didn't look at any other, you know, factors that could influence this.
I'm just trying to process that. There's a lot to take in there.
There is a lot to process.
So with this case, did the surgery go ahead?
It went ahead,
wow.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of, like, it's great for intersex people as a whole because it means that the court are saying, we recognise you, we see what's happening, we want to try to address these issues. But for a five-year-old, for the family court to authorise a sterilisation of a five-year-old without, I say, enough testing of the evidence, I think is appalling.
There was actually no other voice in the room, though, was there, other than a heterosexual one?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
See, I would have regarded that as a bit of a concern.
Yeah, and I mean, the parents, I take my hat off to them, they've done a great thing in taking it to the court and trying to do what they thought was right, but really it's not reality, it's not the things that we see within the gay community. It just, you know, she could grow up to be anything and we're stereotyping her, saying you are female, you're going to be female because you look female.
And even it was quite provocative to say the sterilisation of a five-year-old child.
I mean, the best interest principle is what governs our family law system, the family courts and everything, but how is it that this is in a child's best interest to be sterilised at 5 years of age?
Well, I think the point you suggested earlier is probably the prevailing one, isn't it? And that is that the best interests of the child were never completely tested.
No, they weren't. I mean, just the fact that there was no independent children's lawyer, that to me, alarm bells went off. And so, on a case that's so important, like that's the only independent voice in a number of cases that run to the family court. And it just didn't happen. And what this case actually does is it really sets up a dangerous precedent for the authorisation of surgical intervention at such a young age.
So can the parents request their child be appointed a lawyer in these sort of situations?
That they can, yes, they can make an application. I'm not sure why that wasn't made, but I guess because they had all their treating medical practitioners saying, no, this is what's in Carla's best interest, and her and her husband were on the same page about it, then they, they decided to go down that
track. So on the face of it, the ducks are in a row.
Yeah.
But, what happens from here?
Yeah.
What happens when Carla's 15?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Such a complex issue. Well, thank you very much, Christina and Dash.
No worries.
You didn't hear me, Dash, but you were in the room.
Next time.
Can't get a word with him.
She told me she wouldn't talk, so it's okay.
Thank you very much. If you were interested in this topic, you can, of course, re-listen to it or share it with a friend via our podcast at joy.org.au. You are now available... just quietly by Spotify.
It's
woohoo!
It is Spotify.
It's
never miss out on Joy Law ever again. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
To see you guys next week.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.